Wealth Today.
Classic Hits 4CA, you're listening to Steve. And of course, I'm filling in for John McKenzie over the next week and a half or so. And it gives me great pleasure to bring into the studio this morning, or have him in the studio today, the Federal Member for LICA, the Honourable Mr. Warren Inch. Warren, it's been a long time since you and I had a bit of a yak.
It's been quite a while. Outside the booth, we've said g'day a few times, but it's great to see you sitting behind the, is that a gold or is that a bronze microphone?
I think it's just a cheap old bronze one, mate. And it's we gave it to Macca just to make him feel good. But no, it's actually one of those pop things to stop the popping of the microphones. But we haven't done this for quite a while. But mate, some good news that you want to in regards to the backpack attacks. Give us a bit of a rundown, and you're pretty excited about the whole thing.
Well, look, I'm happy that we've got a resolution to this.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't quite understand. People say, "Oh, why in the hell would you deal with this in the first place?"
Yep.
Well, the reason that it came up is that there are labour hire companies.
Yep.
We're not so prevalent up here, but in the Sunshine Coast and in other areas where they're foreign-owned labour hire companies that are bringing over large numbers, and a lot of them come over from places like Korea.
Yes.
And they basically would put them up into very substandard accommodation and provide them effectively as slave labour.
Yes.
And they would, they would bust them into jobs, into agricultural jobs and the likes, pay them very, very poorly, and it would impact on the local businesses. And we had one up here, for example, in the cleaning and hospitality industry, where we had major problems here, and one of our very highly reputable businesses that was pretty much pushed out of the cleaning aspect of it because
of this cheap labour,
because of this labour hire company that came in here, and I think from memory a lot of these were Koreans that were coming, students that were coming in here, and being trucked into these jobs for ridiculously low rates. And it had a and was very, very hard to deal with, and it had a profound negative impact on a local business.
Of course, well, that's not
right. And so I mean, that was the genesis of it. That's what we're looking at now. We didn't have those problems up on the tablelands in the dairy industry and the horticultural industry, very, very rife in around the Sunshine Coast. Talking to people like Keith Pitt, remember down there, he had a real problem in that area, and there was concerns about organised crime connections in it as well. So there were some major issues, and that was what they were looking to address. Unfortunately, one of these businesses, one hat fits all.
Yep.
It doesn't work, and this is where we started to have impacts up here which were unintended consequences. When it happened, we realised straight away, and it's not just horticultural, of course, it also impacts on the hospitality industry, and so there's been a fair bit of negotiation. We only found out about it, as soon as we found out about it, we raised concerns. We said, "Rightio, we understand we're all trying to make our savings, but let's make sure we get it in the right spot." And so there's been a lot of discussions with it, and I think industry generally, and I'm talking about AgForce and even the horticultural industries and that, all come to a figure of around about 19%. They said, "Well, it's fair that they pay some tax, not tax free."
Yes.
But let's get it down to a 19% seemed to be a common figure. The other issue, of course, was with the superannuation, because that 9% also has to be paid. And of course they never drew it until they were leaving.
So where does that
country.
Go? That's it.
Well, that goes back to wherever they go. It's never spent in Australia.
Oh, okay.
But part of the deal is that they get paid at a 19% tax rate instead of 32.5%. And that's up until they reach $37,000. Well, most of them will never do that.
Never do that, no.
However, they may well now that one of the other things we've done is extend the working holiday
visa. The time they could stay, exactly.
With one employer to a year.
Well,
and you know, if they're
you can earn some good money, you might get $37,000 out of it.
Full-time work for 12 months in the hospitality industry and the hotels and that, you may well earn a lot more than 30.
Well, you will definitely
work well over that. And once you get $37,000, of course, you then pay your full whatever the Australian.
But at least we're holding them here for 12 months, and we're not we're having them for 2-3 months and then moving them on to somewhere else. So.
Well, in that aspect, it's really good, particularly in the hospitality industry, because I mean, the horticulture is seasonal.
That's right.
It works in the hospitality. It also works in the dairy industry because where you get people coming in and they want 12, you know, they want 6 months. They got to leave after 3 months or six
That's
months.
Right.
Mm. It means to say you spend all your time and effort training them up, and you get them to a point where they're very good. They move on to somebody else and gets the benefit of their skills.
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas
yeah.
with this is now you can train them up and you got them there for 12 months, and then you can send them to another part of your organisation and. For six months.
So, for instance, you had a hotel or a motel in Cairns, and you had a dairy farm, or you had an avocado farm up in Malanda, wherever it may be. You can use them in the avocado farm, and then if you were the same company, you can move them down, hypothetically, I'm talking, into your hospitality.
Well,
it has to be the one employer.
Well, even if you're in hospitality, most of the hotels here are chains. Hotel chains,
that's right.
You know, you could have them in your hotel here, and you could move them up to Port Douglas, or you can move them down to the Gold Coast, or you can move them wherever you like, you know. Mm. But you've actually got the benefit for them for a full 12 months.
That's good.
So you can spend the time training them up, and you can get the full benefit out of them in that time. The other thing, of course, is so there are quite a few benefits here in this as well. There's also we're putting $10 million into Tourism Australia to start to target. The youth advertising campaign, and this is money that they didn't have in the past. Now, people say, oh, well, you're just bringing them back, but not really. I mean, we can significantly increase the numbers by a targeted campaign in this and not only recover but actually boost it very, very quickly. Also, in applying for these visas through the ATO, now it's just a matter of going online and your automatic approval.
That's great, isn't it?
You can go online, you can do it, and then automatically you can start. You don't have to wait for the ATO to come back and consider an application, et cetera.
Yep.
So, there are quite a bit of positives in there. I mean, yes, there is a five dollar increase from $55, I think, to $60 on the departure tax.
Yeah, but I think if people are travelling, $5 isn't going to really hinder you.
You know, and the airlines can play a role here because, you know, they always say, well, we've got to keep them as cheap as possible. When they put on these surcharges, for example, for fuel surcharges, which quite frequently they do, have a look how frequently they take them off after the situation changes. Often they surcharges stay on for a long, long time. Now, if it was impacting on the volume of travel, you'd think they'd take them off very, very quickly.
Yes.
So, you know, one can be adjusted with another. But I think overall, the roundabouts here, I think it is as good as we can expect, given that we're also maintaining the savings which are necessary looking down the track. Mm. So, you know, it's been a lot of discussion from the moment we first raised this in fairness, to the treasurer, we had a party room meeting, and the whole thing was put on hold. It was supposed to come in last budget,
and we
put it on hold. And there's been a lot of discussion on this. We've had input from industry, etc. We were at one stage you're only looking at agriculture, but we were determined to make sure that it went on to tourism as well.
Mm.
And so I think we can be very happy that we've got a good outcome. To me, I mean, this is the way the process works. I mean, we did the same thing with superannuation. You know, you put something out there which they aspire to do, which is advised by bureaucracy. We have a look at it and we say, no, we've got some problems with this. It's good to have the flexibility to make the changes.
Yes.
And you know what? You see these big old backflip. This, it's not a backflip.
No.
It's just you know, surely to goodness, this is what we're there for as elected representatives to be able to scrutinise this stuff. And if we see unintended consequences, you don't then say, well, look, we can't make a change because it might be called a backflip.
Mm.
Good government is recognising unintended consequences or recognising that we can do things better and making the changes. and making that happen. And so I hope that, you know, whenever we have a contentious issue, irrespective of what it might be, that we have the flexibility and the voice. I'm doing some work at the moment on importing private importation of new cars. You know, we're going to make some changes there. I can guarantee we're going to make change, and I make no apology for that.
Yeah.
But again, it's about having an input, talking to your local affected businesses, and saying, how do we get a good balance here?
Yes,
and so
course.
I think that this has settled well. You know, it works well. But there's another issue here which I raised in the party room, and it's good to see that the Minister, Christian Porter, is now starting to do something on it. I think it's a pretty sad state of affair when our businesses here, whether they be tourism, horticulture or dairy, are so heavily reliant on importing workers to do the basics. Most of these are unskilled jobs. And yet we've got a 25% youth unemployment.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
These jobs are high employment jobs.
Yes.
Very high, you know, high paid jobs.
High paid jobs, yes.
No, they're not slaves labour. And as you get further away, and we're talking within 100 kilometres radius of Cairns, a lot of them have opportunities there for accommodation where people can stay. And yet they cannot get local people. I talk to dairy farmers. I've got a farm up on the table. I talk to my neighbours. They get local kids that come in there and they say, right, here's a job. Okay. Then as soon as they say it's not 8 to 4, you've got to start work at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning and finish finish at 9 and come back at 3 and finish at 6. No, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And so there's got to be a fundamental change
so
there.
So how do we change the mindset of our youth and the people that are unemployed these days? Because we've got to do that initially because the work is there. The jobs are there.
What was your first job, mate?
My first job would have been probably picking tobacco, stringing tobacco, or planting tobacco. No, hang on, digging the drains for the plants to go into the tobacco.
Wait a minute. No, I'm not talking about working for the family farm for the neighbour. I'm talking about your first full-time paid job.
Full-time paid job.
School.
I was a tyre fitter at Bow Repairs in Mareeba.
Okay, now that's not a clear, clean, tidy job.
No, it's a horrible
job. I look at
job.
You now, show me your hands.
They're all pretty soft now.
Well, they're pretty soft. That's the point I make because, you know, my first job as a 15-year-old was in the Mareeba Railway Station as an apprentice lad porter cleaning the toilets to get them ready for the set when the 8 o'clock rail motor arrived up from Mareeba so that they could go to the restroom, Mrs. Deacon's restrooms.
Yes, I know.
That was my first job. I then went from there, I went to the New South Wales Bank in Mareeba for a short time. But as a 16-year-old, I came back here, stayed at the YAL Centre.
Yes.
Out on, where is it? Out.
Was it not the YMCA one?
No, the YAL Centre. Not Mini Street, is it? No, it's not Mini.
Martin Street, is it?
Martin Street.
It was on Martin Street.
Yeah, a Tropicana Lodge now.
That's right.
16-year-old.
I remember that.
To get a job with the State Government Insurance Office. Now I make a point, like with yourself.
I correct you on that, though, Warren. I didn't. Bow Repairs was the second job because it was old man Jared, old Kev Jared, he used to own it. Then I was actually building cattle yards and dips for old Jack Toohey. Out at around Blackberry Station was my first paid job, and that was hard bloody yakka.
Well, knowing Jack, knowing the legend of Jack Toohey.
Yeah, I worked for him.
They had the firefight there at my Jack Toohey.
Tough old fella.
Shooting
I worked for
each
him.
Other.
Yeah,
well,
oh,
there
I
you
know.
Go.
I did get shot though,
but having said that, you know there are a lot of people don't want to go.
They don't.
I don't want to go out work in the sun. I don't want to do this. And I think that there needs to be some sort of encouragement. It's not the job for the rest of your life. Like all the backpackers come, they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
But it's a work experience that gets you focused on doing things and provide you with an opportunity to put something on your resume that you'll give you other opportunities. It's not that there's not jobs in Cairns. There is a heap of jobs in our region.
Yes, there is.
And that's clearly evident by the problems that we've had in relation and the impact of not having foreign workers, backpackers. The problem is that people don't want the jobs that are available.
That's
right. And I think that there needs to be an attitudinal change on this, and that this is what I've spoken to the minister about. And we've got to encourage the young ones to get out, and the not so young ones too, that are unemployed to get out. Get it, you know, they might find it healthy and they might find it rewarding, but it gives a resume and gives a reference for them that provides an opportunity.
Well, it gives you hope. Else. It gives you purpose to live. And I mean, you feel great once you've done a bit of hard yakking of the day.
So anyway, that's one that I've been raised on this, and we really got because we are. I honestly believe that it's not. It's not about the lack of jobs available. Okay, you might have to travel for three quarters of an hour to get there, but there is accommodation available. Yep. These people travel from around the world to come there, and they're able to stay there for periods of time. You can still get your weekends off at times and all the rest of it, but you build up a little bit of cash, a little bit of self-pride, and also a resume, which is good for you.
Let's move on. Shark nets across the border, what's that all about?
I have to say, I was sitting down eating my Wheaties this morning, and I tell you what, I almost choked, Steve.
All right, well, you can tell the story.
I see that our wonderful Premier Palaszczuk has jumped on her white charger, and she is heading south with drum lines and shark nets, and she is out to save the residents of northern New South Wales.
Wow.
And you've got to be impressed with that.
Oh, very impressed.
And I thought, I cannot believe this. But here it is, and you know, she made the statement. Human life is more important, and if I can do it as the Premier of Queensland, I'm going to take it, I'm going to give it, offer it to the Premier of New South Wales, and I'm going to say, we're going to save these lives, I'm going to give you the shark nets, I'm going to give you the drum lines, you know, to hell with the sharks, let's save the humans.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, Premier, what a wonderful change this is. And so I'm actually putting out a challenge to the Premier.
Yeah.
Given she's got such a focus on the importance of human life south of our border in New South Wales.
Yep.
I would like to think very highly of her initiative and not be cynical. I do not want to, I'd hate to think that this is just a little cheap political shot at her Liberal counterpart in New South Wales. And you know how she can deal with that cynicism? Mm. She can come out today and say, I'm going to deal with the crocodile issue in far north Queensland.
Here.
I'm going to deal with the fruit bat issue in the middle of the city. I'm going to get in there with council. I'm going to get in there with the local community. And we're going to make sure that we deal with this problem comprehensively.
Yes.
Because the human life is more important. And I don't want them getting less of virus. I do not want to see them getting consumed.
Yep.
And so I'm really going to show that I am not hypocritical in the way that I'm dealing with things, that I'm absolutely consistent. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have a close look at what is clearly not working. Yep. First person I think she should ring is Brett Oles, Councillor Brett, who's done a great job with raising awareness in relation to crocodiles in our area. But also, she should be talking and apologising in many ways to Cairns City Council for the difficulties and to the residents who've had that bat droppings all over their motor car and all sorts of things. We all love bats.
Yes.
And we all love crocodiles.
Yeah.
But, you know, not where there are concentrations of people.
No, I totally agree. We've got to move on. Well, the challenge is out there. Good on you, Warren. Look, Warren, as we have a run out of time, but it's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. Let's do it again next week if you've got time.
Well, I would love to, but I've got to go too, you understand. Yeah. Right. I've got a very large electorate, 150,000 square kilometres.
You've
got
to try and be in a different spot at different times of the year.
Different times. I've got to go right up to Saibai, Boygu and Doan up in the Torres Strait there, right up 4 kilometres from Papua New Guinea.
Yes,
I go out all the Western Cape, Eastern, all of Cape York.
So you're going to a pretty remote place soon.
I haven't been out there this year, and I thought, well, you know, I've got to visit all of my constituents right across the whole region, and they've been asking me for ages and ages to get there. This afternoon, I thought I'm going to make a sacrifice. I've asked my wife if she would like to come along with me just to lessen the burden, because sometimes these things are very difficult.
Oh, yeah, you can imagine it. Very remote. It must be hard. Must be stressful.
It is.
You know, stressful.
I'm struggling, but look, I'm going to make it, and with her support, we'll do it well. I'm going to Green Island. I know. I know it's hard. It's a hardship job, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I promised I'd get out there, talk to my constituents out there as well.
Yes.
I mean, they're entitled to my representation as anybody else in my electorate, and so I'm out there popping over there this afternoon to say g'day.
I feel your pain. I'm sure everybody does that. I'm sure you'll come out at the other end okay, unscathed. Yeah, Warren, it's great to have a it's a pleasure to have you in. That's the Honourable Warren Inch, member for federal member for LICARD. Thank you, Warren. Take care.
See you, mate. Cheerio.
Talk to you next week. This is 4CA, and this is also Queen with Radio Gaga.